Good morning, church. If you would, please open your Bibles with me to the book of Revelation this morning. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 as we conclude a series that we've called Never Ending, How God's Story Changes Yours. I want to teach you today the glorious truth that God will forever be with his people. What comes to your mind when you hear the word heaven? The reality that we will live forever somewhere has shaped society throughout all of history. I'm amazed, however, at how benign we are about heaven. I mean, if you think about it, some of us, we don't think about it every hour. We don't think about it daily. We don't think about it every week. We don't think about it every month. It just hardly rarely comes up. However, the Bible reminds us that God has placed eternity in our hearts in Ecclesiastes 3:11. Jesus commands us in Matthew 6, verse 20, to lay up treasures in heaven. Paul reminds us that we have an eternal paradise in 2 Corinthians 12:4 waiting for us. Peter encourages us that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you in 1 Peter 1:4. What comes to your mind when you hear the word heaven? Did you realize that the Bible refers to heaven 582 times in 550 separate verses? In fact, in Revelation, the last book in the Bible, did you realize the word heaven appears 54 separate times? Heaven is not a state of mind, but an actual prepared place. At salvation, believers are presently and positionally spiritual citizens of God's heavenly kingdom. Therefore, the heavenly life is a present possession, not just a future hope. You and I are in a place that God is preparing for us right now to get us ready for something unbelievable, undeniable, unfading, kept in heaven for you. We have a forever King inside of us, creating a desire to be with him forever. You were made for a forever relationship with God. And the moment that you place your full faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God's Son, God will forever be with you. Everything that is truly precious to a Christian is in heaven. Longing for heaven then affirms one's salvation. It endures us against spiritual attack. It brings authentic joy. Life will not always be like this. There will be one day where we will be with God as his people forever. So church, set your mind on things above, Paul says in Colossians 3:2. God will forever be with his people. Now when we come to the context and content of Revelation 21, we have to remind ourselves where we are historically. Sinners of all ages, Satan and his demons have been sentenced and condemned to the lake of fire. The present universe that we know has been completely destroyed. We studied at the beginning of this series the first 7 days of creation in Genesis 1 and 2. Now may we study in depthly the eighth day. Your Bible says this in Revelation 21, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. The Apostle John, exiled on the island of Patmos, has a vision that will one day be a reality. And he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. All things untainted by sin will be beyond our mental capacity an ability to comprehend or compare with anything else. There will be a new heaven and a new earth that will be transformingly new, authentic, as never seen before in any way. The word new here means impressively new, different in a qualitative sense. God renews his creation as new. This is not a renovation. This is not a tweaking of the old earth. This is a renewing of God himself, of a new heaven and a new earth, which means beauty then will be endless. Literally, the phrase, have you ever seen this before? The answer is always no in heaven. There will be things that we will see that will just captivate our minds, that will literally, from an insatiable format, just overwhelm our hearts. Creation will be truly breathtaking. I mean, it's good that we're going to have the capacity and permanence of God in our lives to live forever, because literally everything you see is going to It's going to take your breath away. Your body is going to be glorified. You're going to have a godly, glorified body. No more pain. No more stress. No more things that wear and tear on us. You're going to look good. You're going to look really, really good. Food. Food is going to be calorie-free and wrapped in bacon. It's going to be unbelievable. Your palate is going to be unhindered by anything, and you're literally going to be exposed to the true majesty and innovation of God Himself. And fellowship, church, you will never have to say the phrase, "Do you have a minute?" ever again, because we'll have all eternity to be with each other and to be with the Lord. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. John conveys his point by drawing from Isaiah 65, verse 17, where it says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into your mind." What Isaiah predicted 700 years prior, John saw as a reality, a real place, a real city, real people with the one true God forever. He says in verse 1, "For then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." John conveys that the entire world that we know it will not be edited, but destroyed. In the New Testament, we learn that the present heaven will dissolve and the current earth will be burned up. In fact, Peter says this very clearly in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. So the question then is, where is heaven? Now, the Bible delineates three heavens. The first one is one we know very well. We see it every day. It's the earth's atmosphere. That is not the new heaven and the new earth. It's literally 10 miles above kind of where you are on the earth. You just kind of look up and that's the atmosphere, and that's not the heaven that John is describing. The second is the stars and the planets and the universe. For instance, we have the moon that we see every night. The moon is 239,000 miles away. It's literally something that if we're not careful, we'll take for granted. But heaven is beyond the moon. Heaven is also beyond the Milky Way. We live in the Milky Way galaxy, and the Milky Way is an expanse and broad and beautiful. In fact, it encompasses 52,850 light years. Now, you're going to need the Millennium Falcon to travel in the Milky Way because literally one light year is 5.9 trillion miles, and the Milky Way is so broad, it's 52,850 light years in its expanse, but heaven is beyond that. In fact, astronomers now tell us there are billions and billions of galaxies, and so the new heaven and the new earth is beyond those things as well. Now, I'll also remind you, church, that the heaven is not the earth's atmosphere. It's not the stars and the planets and the universe. It is literally the dwelling place of God. And it's something that you and I in Christ have instant access to the moment our bodies succumb to the wages of sin and death. We go to be with the Lord. Paul says it like this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. He says, "And in a twinkling of an eye," that you and I will be caught up in the rapture with the Lord. It'll happen this quick, as quickly as light can be exposed to your eye. You have the potential to fly by the earth's atmosphere, to fly by the moon and the Milky Way, to literally be in the dwelling place of God Himself. So what's up? Heaven. It's way, way up. And John, in seeing this, also says that the current first heaven and the first earth will pass away and the sea will be no more. Now, John, exiled in Patmos, would probably look out over the Aegean Sea every single day. And he says, physically, the oceans and the seas will be no more. Now, this is a startling claim, for right at around 75% of the world is covered by water. Now, in ancient times, the sea was a dark, mysterious, unknown place of extreme danger. The sea was symbolic of evil and disorder and treachery. Verse 1 suggests that there will be no continuity between the old, fallen, sin-twisted world and the new one that is to come. Church, the Bible reminds us that one day soon, everything bad will stop and everything good will never stop. Revelation 21 tells us that in verse 1, there'll be no more sea, that in verse 4, there'll be no more tears, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more mourning, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain. In verse 8, there's no more wickedness. In verses 23 and 25, there's no more night, because literally the glory of the exalted, resurrected Christ will illuminate the new heaven and the new earth. In verse 25, there'll be no more closed gates. Literally, you'll have open, unhindered access and fellowship with God Himself. And finally, in Revelation 22, verse 3, the curse that has plagued us since Genesis 3 will be ultimately removed and destroyed. One day soon, everything bad will stop and everything good will never stop. Paul says it beautifully when he says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. It's coming. It's coming one day soon. Endless hope. Endless joy. Endless love. And never-ending fellowship with one another and God. For God will forever be with His people. Now look at verse 2. John says, and I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now the present heaven is up there, way up. The new heaven will be down here. Heaven, God's dwelling place, will one day be on a new earth. The present heaven is not the permanent destination of departed and redeemed saints, but a temporary physical place. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 8, to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. The new heaven will be a physical place where God's resurrected people will worship Him on a renewed, resurrected earth. In fact, 15 separate times in Revelation 21 and 22, the place of God and His people, where they'll live together, is called a city. John tells us that the holy city was created in glory. Already exists and is the center of the future heaven. He says in verse 2, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem. How could John see something that does not exist? Now, this city is absolutely incredible. I mean, the place that God has prepared for us in Christ to be with Him forever, it is mind-blowing. In fact, you can read about the beauty of this architecture and its magnanimity in Revelation 21 verses 15 through 21, but I just want you to get over how big this place is. It is 1,500 miles cubed. It is 1,500 miles in length, in width, and in height. Currently on earth, the highest point that we have is Mount Everest. It is 5.5 miles up. The new city, the new Jerusalem, is 1,500 miles up. If you were to transpose the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city, to the North American continent, it would go from Canada to Mexico, from the Appalachian Mountains all the way to California, and it would be 15,000 times the size of the city of London. But church, can I tell you? The only thing greater than the size of the city is the magnitude of its builder and its host. Look at verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. This is the 20th time in Revelation that a loud voice has made an announcement, signifying the importance of this content. The imagery by John in Revelation is God's continued presence and glory. He uses a word here for the dwelling place of God and connects it closely to the Shekinah glory of God in the Old Testament, literally the revealed presence of God Himself to His people. The greatest hope of the Old Testament was to see God's glory. And notice very clearly in verse 3 that God Himself in heaven will no longer be separated or withdrawn from His people, but will be among them, in the midst of them, forever. The end reality of every Spirit-led believer in Christ is instant and forever God. And He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God. Notice three times in verse 3, John mentions the glorious fact that God will dwell with His people. And He will be in the dwelling place of God as with man. And He will dwell with them. And God Himself will be with them as their God. In ancient times, people rarely saw kings or royalty. In fact, have you ever seen a king in person? I'm not talking about Elvis or LeBron or Michael Jackson or even those who work at Burger King. What I'm talking about is, have you ever seen a king physically? Heaven is the dwelling place of God. And for all eternity, redeemed believers will worship and have full and complete unlimited fellowship with God. Heaven is a real place where we will really be with God forever, which means then that unhindered access, wholehearted worship, and inexpressible joy, and never-ending fellowship with God forever is your reality in heaven. God is preparing you today for a forever relationship with Him. So with that in mind, knowing that endless hope and endless joy and endless love and an endless fellowship with one another and God is coming, God is preparing you today for a forever relationship with Him right now. So is there areas in your life where the access to God is being hindered? And if so, then write those down. Give them to the Lord. Maybe it's how you're allocating your time, and maybe it's how you're allocating just your decisions and choices, and evaluate those. Have this mind among yourselves, which is of above, Paul says in Colossians 3:2. I think secondly, are there aspects where you're not able to worship the Lord with your whole heart? Maybe there's anxiety or worry. Maybe there's a relationship that is fractured or that is not in true alignment with God's will for your life. Take this time that God has given you and seek healing and restoration. Is there inexpressible joy in your walk with the Lord right now? And if not, why? What is it that's stealing your joy? May you very clearly identify that and give it to the Lord and trust that God is preparing you today for a forever relationship with Him, because never-ending fellowship with God is your reality in heaven. One day soon, everything bad will end, and everything good will never end. God is preparing you today for a forever relationship with Him. So church, be encouraged. Church, continue to open up your Bibles. Continue to point as many people to Jesus as possible, and remind yourself the glorious, never-ending truth that God will forever be with His people.